Good Monday, everybody. Welcome to another fun week of Ultra Universe Live with me, Rob Glasser. We're going to get our show started in just a second, but beforehand, we got our normal stuff to do. So first off, if you guys haven't yet already gotten some gifts for you or your loved ones, or even your pets, because we got some cool pet stuff too, go check out some of the stuff we have at our store. We have different collections going on. This is one of the original Stay Nerdies. I got mine here. And as you can tell, this link will bring you right over to the store. And then from there, you can also see what other cool stuff we have as well. And as I mentioned, it is the holiday season. What a better time than now to buy something. And hey, like I said, get something for yourself. You know, come on. If you're not going to, I'm just kidding. All right. Other than that, we have one of our favorite stores here, BAM Books A Million. They have a whole slew of awesomeness. Whether you're a reader, a watcher, or a player of toys, they have all that stuff and more just for you there. And as usual, since the topics we go over are fandom and nerd and geek related, they have a whole selection of that stuff too. So if you guys are watching us on both ends or one or the other, you'll be able to catch the link here on YouTube or Facebook and enjoy that there. So really quick, I can give you a rundown of what we do here. If you guys haven't joined before, we do videos all week, sometimes all week, sometimes a couple days, whatever we feel like doing. It don't matter. We have fun doing it anyway. And we do it solo. We do it with guests. We just have a whole slew of fun stuff. And being the year's coming to an end, we ain't going to stop anytime soon. So next year, we're going to get set up for some new awesomeness, as well as the original awesomeness that we already do. Today, we're going to do what is known as a movie review, which is exactly that. We review some nerd-tastic, geek-tastic, I don't know, fandom-tastic. I still haven't figured a word for that one. And we just kind of break it down. So in just a second, we are going to get our guest on, and just want to give a shout out. Thank you for those joining us. And yeah, if you weren't able to, or if you aren't able to get it now, you'll be able to pick it up later. But we do encourage, come on, come say hello, give us a chat. We are definitely here to say hello. So there it is. All right. So let's see. All right, so he should be on in just a second. Last week I got it perfectly. Yes, thank you to our awesome people behind the scenes for the 10% off deal that I showed a second ago. We do have that code up on the in the chat box for you to copy and use when you go. And trust me, it is very easy to spend. It's very easy to spend $50 over there. So 25 is a snap, as a snap stitch. I don't know. But yeah, it's very easy to do that good stuff there. All right. Well, before he gets on, I guess I will give us a little rundown. If you guys read the title to the video today, you know that we are going to go over the 2016 Doctor Strange and hype for the sequel coming out. What are we, end of 2020? I think 2022. I don't know if it's next year, honestly. I'm sure we'll go over it again, but let me just see if I can find. Okay, I was right, yeah. 2022. So this one's been a while. This one was back in 2016. All right, well, while we give him a second to get on, let me just give you a quick breakdown. So for those who are Marvel fans and love the MCU, this was the 14th movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, directed by Scott Derrickson, written by Joe Spatz and C. Robert Cargill, of course, starring wonderful people like Benedict Cumberbatch, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Rachel McAdams, Benedict Wong, Michael Stolberg, Benjamin Bratt, Scott Adkins, Mads Mikkelsen, and Tilda Swinton. Of course, we know many of those were the main characters, Cumberbatch playing the lead title, Doctor Strange, Rachel McAdams playing the nurse, And Tilda Swinton, or I'm sorry, Mads Mikkelsen playing Dormammu and Tilda Swinton playing the chosen one, same difference. And that was what we got. Before all of this going on, we did have some 1980s versions. We had some other weird, no thing we want to talk about type of deal. But in 2016, we did get the movie that we desired. And now, all the way back from Nepal himself, dressed to the T in his Spider-Man hoodie, we have the awesome Ron Swallow from the rebooted show. Say hello, sir.
Good morning.
Or good morning, sir.
This is morning for me.
People out there, I know this guy well. This is his daily schedule going on. All right, so I started the people off a little bit with just the general rundown. I'm going to have you give us a very layman's terms kind of plot of the movie. You know, maybe just pointing out some of the major aspects that are important to the MCU.
I mean, okay. Doctor Strange is a doctor, a very, very good doctor, who's also kind of a jerk. And when I say kind of a jerk, he is a jerk. He is basically texting and calling while he's driving, turns down some stuff because it's too hard. So you see that, like, sure, he's arrogant, but, you know, he's not going to take a losing situation and try to make it better. No way. He's not taking that chance. He's not going to mess up his perfect. You know, like, they do a quick job making sure you understand that he's kind of a jerk and he could improve to be a better person. Then he gets in a wreck and almost flies into the ocean. His hands get ruined. He can't be a doctor anymore, or at least a surgeon. Could probably use his brain, but he's so arrogant, you know. So now he's looking for a way out. And yes, definitely don't text while driving. That's how you become Doctor Strange, actually. So maybe you should text and drive. But then he goes on a journey to eventually Kamar-Taj, gets to Kamar-Taj, and they train him in sorcery eventually. At first, he's like, this is dumb. I'm not going to magic my way with my mind out of this. And then he's, you know, begs to be trained and eventually gets trained. And then there's a big fight. Turns out Dormammu seduces some bad guys, and there's a cool ending. That's the layman terms version.
You know, I gotta say, I give that a 10 out of 10. That is probably pretty much exactly what goes on. For those who remember in the comics, he is definitely one of the OG characters that was written way back when. Of course, we know he's been involved with multiple groups. In the MCU, he's obviously involved with the Avengers. He's been involved with Spider-Man. He's been all over the place. And he definitely, now it's funny because he is a jerk and he still is a jerk as Doctor Strange, but it actually kind of works for him a little bit because Doctor Strange is probably one of the more brighter people in the MCU. But just like Tony Stark, who thinks he's the best thing since sliced bread, they both kind of butt heads together and basically call each other out because, you know, they're made for each other, right? They're both incredibly...
Yes, arrogant. Absolutely.
So after the accident, he does go to, you pronounce it better than I do,
Kamar-Taj.
Who would think it's crappy to learn magic? I don't know. That's a good question. Obviously,
well, you know, he thought it was fake. You know, grew up in the science world. And look, I got to be honest with you. If somebody offered me that kind of thing too, I'd be mad as well. I'd be like, my hands are ruined. I don't need to chant. I'm not going to meditate my ruined hands into regular hands. That's ridiculous. I would feel the same way.
Well, so. I guess we know the answer to that question then. This is the first MCU time, and I think I could be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the only real like magic themed superhero characters from Marvel, correct? Like, is he really the main?
I mean, are Oh, do you mean in comics or just for the MCU?
Well, just for the MCU, because I know DC has a few. But yeah. For MCU-wise, I believe he's one of the ones that strictly uses it as part of his power.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, arguably, you could argue that Scarlet Witch in this world is that. Because she's using cosmic power.
Right.
And the cosmic power is what gave her her powers. So she's not a mutant in this one. So I don't know. That's interesting because, I mean, you could even argue Thor technically is sort of a magic user because he's a god.
But
they also scienced up they scienced up Thor. They're just basically beings you just don't quite understand. They're just, you know what I mean? But they also talk about themselves like they're gods too. So I don't know.
Okay. So maybe it's a kind of in between.
And if you're asking, does Ron think gods are the same thing as magic? Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay, then. You've heard it straight from his mouth, people. There you go. It is now live on the internet. It cannot be taken back ever again. So this is a very interesting film, though, generally, because it's one, you know, the solo films do pretty well. So, of course, Cap had his solo film. Iron Man had his first film. Hulk, not yet, but that'll come later.
There were Hulk films.
Well,
weren't the Bruce Banner we know today.
They were kind of the other version of Bruce Banner. So this one definitely is in its own realm of things because most of the time, at least for me, I don't necessarily always think of magic as superhero. When I think of superhero, I think of, you know, the nifty gadgets, the ability to fly, you know, laser beams. That's kind of what most people, I think of a superhero. But the movie does show, and I think with the help of the Ancient One, who I think really plays a key role, she is kind of what ties it into the universe itself. You know, she explains to him the different uses of it. Obviously, we'll get into the Eye of Agamotto in a second. But she basically explains the importance of doing it, but not doing it to be cool and being a magician, but it actually is going to be a way to help save, you know, mankind. And of course, later, you know, in Infinity War and in Endgame, we see him use it multiple times. Of course, for those who remember in Infinity War, there was the line where he sees all the different endings and only one of them turned out well for them. So is it, in a way, the Ancient One is kind of almost as important, right? Because she's the one that needs to make him understand that it's not just magic for magic's sake. It's actually magic for, you know, you're going to be the dude that is partly responsible for making sure the Earth doesn't explode into a million pieces.
And that's one of the character arcs of this guy is it turns him from a guy who's all about himself into eventually a guy who's about helping people and helping others truly. Even though he did that as a doctor, he saved millions, you know, not millions, right, thousands of lives or whatever, doing, you know, surgeries and helping people get back to on their feet again. So that stuff is important and great. But like, he was also doing that because it was like getting him the attention he wanted to get. And in this situation, no one really is going to get he's not going to get attention because his job is to do magic behind the scenes to stop bad guys from taking over our universe. So, you know, like our reality is literally threatened and he's the guy who stops them. And it's, and so he goes from that's one of the best parts about this movie is they really did a great job taking this character who does have some interesting, likable parts, but is mostly kind of a jerk, and turning him into this great character who is like all about helping people out eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of retract what I said before. He definitely does have a mouth on him, and he definitely does like to kind of, you know, have that thing. But versus Tony Stark, who I believe is continuously kind of an a-hole most of the time, you're right. Stephen Strange he can be kind of cocky, but I think in the long run, he actually does give a damn. And the scene that always makes me think of outside of Doctor Strange is in Infinity War when they're all sitting in the thing and, you know, Star-Lord has like, you know, what's the name in the headlock with the gun pointed to his head. And, you know, they're all sitting there and they're having like this verbal showdown and nobody knows what's happening. And Doctor Strange is just like, you know, I don't remember what he said exactly, but he basically...
Who is your master?
Yeah, yeah, and everyone just kind of stops and they're like, what? And, you know,
what do you mean, like, Jesus?
Yeah, you know, so he's got a way of, he can sound like an arrogant bastard, but he actually, you're right, he definitely, he learns to be a better person doing this. And one could say that the crash and all that kind of caused him to have to learn that. But we'll go into the bad guy really quick, too, because I know Dormammu also plays a large role. For those who might not understand him, what's the deal with...
What's the deal with Dormammu?
Exactly. Thank you, Central.
he is he's a giant dark being whose only goal is to devour worlds and make them part of his universe.
Like a great job.
Kind of just like a evil force who manipulates people into doing things he wants for power. Hycilius, I think is his name.
Yes.
Is the other, the magical bad guy who starts, worshiping Dormammu and, goes and tries to take over all the other sorcerers and takes out Sorcerer Supreme and all that good stuff. Bad stuff, technically. And great fight scenes happen during the whole thing. Good. There's some great comedy in this one, by the way. This is like one of the low key, really funny Marvel movies. Sorry, so, I have a cat over here.
I can tell you're enjoying the loving.
He's
from
demanding it. He's biting my finger. He's out of control.
Mine's behind me eating because she doesn't get enough food as it is, apparently. So Dormammu, who we may or may not get more of, it's kind of a very weird. It's not a person per se. It's kind of like a blob of stuff. Is one of the more intricate villains for sure. Now I know, you know, we'll hype up the sequel in a second, so we might get a chance to see him again, depending. But in this particular movie, that is the main bad guy there. In order for Strange to save the day, he's got to stop him. So of course we know he, you know, kind of the infinite time loop dealy thing, and ends up kind of stopping him, not really by accident, but kind of, you know, Dormammu kind of put himself in a corner. And it worked out that way. Which brings me to the specific necklace wearing he has, which we learn later was one of the Infinity Stones as well, the Eye of Agamotto. So what is specific to this Infinity Stone?
Well, this is different than the comic a little bit.
Okay.
In the comic, the Eye of Agamotto is just... Well, it's not just, it's a really powerful artifact of magic that Doctor Strange specifically is great at using. And it could do a lot more various things than what this one, which is the Time Stone. So as a Time Stone, it generally just does time zone stuff. You know, like it goes back and forward in time. It allows you to look into time and the various different ways time might go. And so, you know, That's basically what it is in the MCU. Still a powerful, you know, object, obviously, because time is, you know, important.
You would think. Well, it actually makes sense. I think that probably to make it easier for us watching the movies, they probably, A, just made it one of the time stones to make everything work together, but also it is a little complicated to explain how it actually works not outside of a book. So probably for the sake of everybody watching or making, they just decided that, hey, we'll give him the Eye of Agamotto. We'll make it look cool, but we're just going to end up making it one of the six Infinity Stones and just, you know, leave it at that. So that's pretty much the big breakdown there. It's, you know, of course, you know, I started before you got on, I was doing a little breakdown. We had a big cast of people, obviously Benedict Cumberbatch starting it off. He's going to be here for a while. Obviously, he's got a couple more movies, plus he may take over a role in some of the group type of movies since, you know, Cap and Iron Man are gone. And then you have people who you may not know, but were important to the comic book. Rachel McAdams' character, what the hell is her name? Christine Palmer, who was the nurse. Now, in the comic, she's, I feel, a bit more fleshed out. Here, I think it's more of a love interest deal and less of an actual important character. And then, of course, you have characters like Carl Mordo, played by Chiwetel Ejiofor, Benedict Wong, who plays Wong, and then Tilda Swinton, who plays the Ancient One. So it's not a large group of people, to be honest with me, with you. It's got enough people you need, but it's not like a... I mean, I don't want to compare it to Infinity War, because Infinity War is a movie in itself. But it's not like, for instance, Black Panther had a lot of people in that movie. If you look at the breakdown of the important cast members here, there's maybe like four people that are important. Does that reflect on the making of the movie at the time? Or do you think that's how the movie was going to end up being?
I mean, that's just a good way to make a movie. Here's the thing. You got an hour and a half to 2 hours. Sometimes you can push it to 2 hours and 15 minutes to tell a good story, to get an in-depth look at a few characters. And in order to do that well, you need to limit the number of characters that are going to be in the movie, and limit the amount of important characters, I should say. You know, Baron Mordo's going to be important. He's going to be the main bad guy probably in the next, like the next movie possibly, or at least a couple movies down the line. So, right. You know, that's one of the things you had to do. Palmer, is definitely going to be something. I would love to see if she somehow gets involved, if they make her one of the sorcerers at some point. It'd be interesting if they like included her. Yeah. And that, I think, you know, it goes well with the character they created in that. I don't think that happens in the comic books, but hey, we could do what we want. This is the MCU, you know?
I mean, the movies take major liberties for sure. But yeah, you're right. Now I know.
But for the best, like a lot of times it's simplifying things or making them work in a cohesive form, which is really important, and is one of the reasons that they are so successful. Like, I mean, the reason MCU is so successful is they did a great job making small changes, but keeping to the core of the characters, the core of who the characters are. And, you know, so.
Well, I agree with you on the aspect of I do prefer a movie to have a succinct amount of people. Of course, if it's one of those big epic things, yeah, of course you need a whole grand, you know, whatever. But I'm definitely
well, let's look at how Marvel did that. They built that. So basically, right. They told you all the back, like each movie was building upon these characters and building up into this one where you can finally get everybody, bam, into one or two movies, and it was beautiful, right? Yeah. I mean, even Guardians of the Galaxy, who, you know, had a large-ish cast of characters, still kept it pretty tight and within the realm of those characters. So, you know.
That's very good. Let's see. Hashtag Benedict Cumberbatch is a favorite, for sure. He can do no wrong, except for apparently saying penguins. He can't say penguins. I don't know if you've ever seen that video, but
no, I have not, and I'm already interested.
Yeah, he was asked to do a documentary on penguins and apparently couldn't say penguins, so I'll let you guys stew on that for a minute. All right, so development wise is actually kind of interesting, because before we got the movie this actually was going to be written multiple times, one in 89 and one in 1992. The 1992 one actually was going to be written by Wes Craven, the guy who we know does all of the 80s horror films. But they never really got off the ground because, to be honest, from the plots I was reading, I don't think anybody would have gotten any idea what the hell was going on at the time being. but I think for this type of movie, it's good that they went through so many script ideas. Because, of course, even though the movies didn't make it, we all know those really bad 70s and 80s shows where I think there was a Thor, a Spider-Man, and a Doctor Strange team-up movie, and it was horribly filmed, really bad movie. But I think it kind of worked for what they were short of trying to do. I'm just looking here that apparently Del Toro and Gaiman actually wanted to work together to do one as well, but they were shot down because... as we know, those two are way out there when it comes to their movie making. And eventually we just got to Derrickson, who I'm sure you've read on Twitter, apparently may not be coming back for the second one because of a difference of creative opinion, but we'll, you know, we'll see what happens there. So what do you think about that? Is it good to try multiple times, or is it better to write down something and then wait till you have the right script to make it? Like, would you have wanted these weird Wes Craven directed Doctor Strange movies?
No, I don't want to see that.
Okay. No, it's that simple. I mean, the answer to my own question would be, I'd be fine with them writing multiple scripts. Don't just go out and shoot them. But when you hit one that works, which in this case was the 2016, then you shoot and you go from there. I have a problem when you keep on remaking the same thing over and over again, and it keeps getting screwed up, and you don't know why it's getting screwed up, and you're like, it's getting screwed up because it sucks. That's the problem.
You're bad at things because you're bad at things. That's
exactly. So again, this definitely was, this started a pre-production 2 years before it came out. Derrickson definitely put a lot of time and effort into making sure all the visual was correct, all the costuming was correct. This particular character, I think, got some extra pizzazz, kind of like how the Spider-Man did too. Like, Doctor Strange got some extra TLC to make sure he was done well. It was very easy that Benedict Cumberbatch got the role, because that just made the production that much easier. But you know, this is definitely one of those movies that you needed to make sure you knew what you're doing. Now, again, you're on Twitter, I'm on Twitter, all of our podcast people are on Twitter. If it's true that he is leaving, any thoughts on what you think they would have to do, or do you think
he's leaving?
Well, I read a tweet like a day or two ago saying that because of creative differences, Derrickson does not want to finish working on second movie. If that's true, and again, we don't know because it's all just out there, what's the best way to go about it if they have to kind of like transfer over?
I don't know.
Or is there a way? I mean, is there a way to do it? Or
isn't the movie already shot?
To be honest, I mean, the movie's not supposed to be coming out till 22. So
probably not. They're probably shooting right now, and they're probably paused. So it's probably going to come out in 2023.
So theoretically, they probably haven't done much. So I guess if he is really leaving, they could probably just start over and just kind of reshoot. I don't know. I know you've talked about it before on your stuff. This happens all the time. Like, directors leave for some reason, and you don't know why. What do you do when that happens, or can you really not do anything? You just have to kind of make the best of it.
Yeah, you just make the best of it. You get another good director. I mean, it's Disney, so they'll find whoever's the next best director.
I didn't think about that they're all connected now. But yeah,
I mean, honestly, I mean, it's a bummer because I was super curious to see where this was going to go and what Derrickson was going to do. But, you know, well, I'm sure it'll be pretty good, because so far, watching all of the Marvel movies, and I've been rewatching them for quarantine, there isn't a stinker in them. There's ones that are not as good, I'll admit, but that's also mostly my opinion. Like, there's the ones that I think are not as good are some people's favorite. So, I mean, you know, it's you know, they came out with, what is it, 18 movies, something like that?
18 or 20 of them, I believe. Yeah
all either way. I, off the top of my head, I don't remember, but, you know, maybe three that were just not quite as good, and then the others were awesome. You know, it's like, I just think that they're a juggernaut of quality. Yes, they're a juggernaut of capitalism and evil, not because capitalism is evil, but because of the way they use capitalism. But I have no problem with capitalism, but I want regulated capitalism, guys. I want it where it's like actually fair, you know, like when they broke up companies, when they were taking over too much stuff, and then said, no, you can't do all of the things. You do dog food, and they'll make another company that does the lumber or whatever it was. I'm obviously making up stuff, but you guys, let's not have corporations do everything. Pretty much it's just going to be Amazon, Disney, and Google, and Apple fighting over everything. They just it'll be four companies that competing. Well, we do everything. They do everything. I do everything. So now there's four companies that do everything, and no mom and pop shops that can sell a sandwich. You know. Anyways, that's just me ranting. Has nothing to do with
Dr. Strange. Market Watch for CNN. Well, speaking of money here, the box office gross totaled $232.6 million in the U.S. and $445 million around the world, for a total of almost $680 million right off the bat. It stayed up in the first few slots. Only, I think it was the fourth week, it fell to number three when Fantastic Beasts and Moana came out. So those two movies beat it out. But again, because they were new movies, and that's what happens. The movie can be great. I'm sorry.
Okay, one's Universal, one's Disney, right? Moana's Disney.
Fantastic Beasts is WB, is Warner Brothers, and Moana was Disney, yeah. So, and at that time, it was still Marvel by itself, not part of Disney's wall. So again, right off the bat, you're right. It did do very well. I'm sure other ones, I mean, you know, obviously nothing's going to beat Endgame and Infinity War. Those ones took, those are not going to be caught anytime soon, if ever. But that also tells you too, like you said, the ability of them to make a good movie, no matter what it is. In this particular case, it was one of their better ones, but they can, you know, like you said, they can really do no wrong. Now, critically, let's see. So Rotten Tomatoes gave it 89%, not too bad. And one of the quotes was, Doctor Strange artfully balances its Autry source material against the blockbuster constraints of the MCU, delivering a thoroughly entertaining superhero origin story in the bargain. So right there is what I was saying, what you were saying.
Really good.
It didn't follow the story, but it did what MCU can do to give you a great introduction to a character that needed to be introduced live.
It's a great job. You show him being good at his job. You show him being arrogant and kind of a jerk. You show him getting into trouble, then getting out of the trouble through the thing, growing as a person, ending in the defeat of the bad guys. Boom. I mean, that's boom. Simple. Nice. Nicely done. It's, you know, and some laughs along the way and some cool action.
I don't need all the extra. I just want a clean cut.
Yeah.
Start to end, like you just said. I agree. The one thing that people seem to had a problem with as far as reviewers go was, no matter how well they thought the actors did, there was a lot of CGI needed to be used. That's just going to come with the territory, people. If you're going to have a movie that is not based literally on land somewhere, you're going to have the CGI. So,
and it was good CGI, so shut up.
You know, it's like somebody saying Jurassic Park is great, but there's too many fake dinosaurs. Like, how do you, you know, what are you going to do about
it? I'm sorry, we made a movie about dinosaurs and put fake dinosaurs in it.
We haven't dug up the real ones yet. They're still sleeping in their cave of tar.
Next time I'll invent the very clear way how to make DNA from dead DNA and then, you know, clone some actual real dinosaurs. We'll really do Jurassic Park in real time, life stuff.
There you go. Well said. But
you ever think about, like, what if that just didn't turn out as cool as they, you know, like, we all think it's going to be like this insane murder island, but what if it, like, they just made dinosaurs and dinosaurs just hung out on the island and it was no big deal? Like, no one cared. It was just, you know, like, they were just on this island eating each other, but, like, not caring if you're there at all. You're too small to eat, really. They just don't care. What if it was just real boring? I just think about, like, what if it never, like, you know, we always worry that AI will just, like, ruin, they'll figure out that we're evil and just decide that people need to be murdered, right? That's what they think AI will think. That's a big fear that people have about AI. What if AI is just boring? What if it's like, oh yeah, here's information about how to solve cancer, and you're like, oh cool, thanks AI, and that's it. It just, like, does exactly what you ask it to do. What if that happens? What do you do then, scientists?
I'm not one for bringing dinosaurs back. I think
bring them back. I want to ride a plesiosaur.
Well, we'll take a trip to Ireland and go see if we can find the Loch Ness, or no, Scotland, go find the Loch Ness Monster.
Dude, you realize that if they bring saber-toothed tigers back, we can ride on Battle Cat like He-Man. Dude. You just put a little domesticated cat in there for them to be chill enough to let you ride on them. Maybe mix in a little horse DNA too. Bam! Saber-tooth tigers that are rideable. You put that little helmet thing on and you get a saddle. And now you're He-Man. I mean, sure, I'll have to gain some muscle weight. How's it going? This is the morning for me.
I don't even know where to go from that. Okay, so let's see. But that wouldn't be exciting, but we got to create the drama. Yeah, see, I agree with her.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just have dinosaurs chilling on the island. You got to make them do something. Maybe they open a McDonald's franchise or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be the most boring movie ever. It's just dinosaurs roaming around. You're like, oh, okay. 2 hours, too. Just 2 hours.
Of dinosaurs running. That's like BBC on a regular.
Eating grass peacefully for like 30 minutes straight. And then like a Tyrannosaurus Rex walks by and he's like, "Meh, I want to take a nap." And he just goes and takes a nap. And
oh my God, this is what I deal with. This is what I deal with. All right. So wrapping up really quick, obviously we got the second movie coming out in 2022 to try to get back to what we were talking about originally. Thank you very much.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that.
So no, it's fine. I enjoy this time. I get very little of it with this guy. So when I do get time with him, it's great. So of course we know that obviously Wanda Maximoff will be coming back.
Yep.
She's going to be kind of responsible for hopefully how that we bring in the other MCU characters, different portals. There's been rumors about the character of Nightmare, which is I think his brother from Hell, I believe. And I think another woman who I saw in the poster who looks like, I don't think she's playing Death, because I know that's Thanos' character, but she's playing another evil character. So we'll see what happens. But if if the rumors are true and we're getting a new director and all that, two or three things do you want to see in the sequel that you think would be pertinent to the MCU?
Well, I would like to see... magic. I would love to see some magic.
We've already gotten magic in the first one, but yes, I'm sure there'll be more magic. So I'm sure your wish is granted already.
So here's the thing. I think, there's rumor. This is what's, the rumors on behind this are really fun. So it sounds like they're going to be doing alternate universe, characters. So you're going to get, there's a possibility you're going to see Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire as those alternate universe Spider-Man, which is amazing because it also makes me almost appreciate the first couple of Spider-Man better because it annoyed me so much that they like changed some stuff. But if this is now an alternate universe where the webbing does come out of his wrist, and they do wear Power Ranger bad guy uniforms, it's like, oh, okay, well, this is just that alternate universe that's a little bit different than the real Spider-Man universe. Homecoming's different than, the real Spider-Man universe, right? A little bit. So it's, but I enjoyed that, and it kept to the core of the character, blah, blah, blah. You know how I feel about that.
Right.
I'm curious to see that. Like, there's a rumor that Tom Cruise might play Iron Man.
I've seen the pictures, yeah.
And in like a part, like a small thing, that stuff's really exciting. And that's what Doctor Strange brings to the table, is your ability to see a bunch of interesting things that you wouldn't see because magic.
Right. Right. And we will get all that and more, I'm sure. Now, of course, what everybody out there is wanting is hopefully the introduction of the X-Men, hopefully the introduction of the Fantastic Four. But we'll see. I definitely, as silly as it sounds, it would be hilarious to see different people come and playing these characters. It would be great to get Garfield and Maguire back just for the hell of it. And between Wanda's character and Doctor Strange, because each of them have their own little niche of the universe there, the limit, there's no limit, I should say. Or I was going to say the limits are endless, basically. But we'll see what happens. I mean, if it's true that they're getting a new... I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that if it's true that they're going to get a new guy in to shoot, then we might get a whole new fresh take from the 2016 strains. Maybe we'll get a new director's viewpoint. If it ends up being false and Derrickson is still there, that's fine too, because he did a great job in 2016. But either way, we're going to get something that probably has not been done before for the MCU. And I am excited to see when the trailers start dropping, what we're going to get in the next, possibly even maybe starting next year, or the year after, probably getting some trailers, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I got a theory that that you're probably going to get to see we're probably going to get to see how Wanda ends up in the universe where she's in a sitcom, like with
connecting to her other. They did make a point of saying that WandaVision does have a connection to Doctor Strange 2. So It would not be surprising at all to see pieces of that show, or maybe like, you know, cut scenes that weren't in the show put into the film. But that is that's definitely a very good idea there. And I'm sure we'll see all of it plus more. I mean, like you said, MCU is yet to fail, knock on wood, but yet to fail. And we'll see what happens. So, that I think is going to do it for today. I really appreciate you getting out of bed just for me, because I know you're going to go back to sleep after this. So I appreciate the time we spend together. If you guys haven't already, go check out his Reboot It channel on YouTube. It's awesome. I know he's got some other stuff coming soon, which we'll get to that later. As always, if you guys haven't liked to see it, go check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. You can subscribe actually to YouTube via this video as well, if you'd like. As I mentioned before, we have our stock in, we got our cool stuff for the holidays. Just go buy something for yourself. You deserve it. Everybody does. Until next time, guys, please stay safe, please stay healthy, and as always, stay nerdy, and may the force be with you.